Reverend Hilton and I have been laboring under this theme over the summer of a series that we've named Healing What You've Been Hiding. Healing What You've Been Hiding. Today is a continuation of that, and in the bulletin I had named this sermon, but I thought about it, and sometimes I can be a little too harsh and a little too transparent and a little too open. I initially tagged this sermon, Get the Hell Out. After I thought about that for a while, I probably could have said it in a different. So I've got it, for those of you who said, I just think that's terrible, I have another subject that I'm calling Soul Detox. Soul Detox. Glad to see Sina Baker back up in her spot up there in the corner. She's been here in Yonder working various in Pittsburgh and other places in terms of political grassroots work. And B. Jones, I saw B. Where are you, B? B. There, stand up, B. B. B's back. Amen. Miss you, B. How do you be, B? How you be?
All right,
very good. Good to have you. You are in North Carolina, is it? In North Carolina? Are you staying now or are you just visiting? Oh, shucks. Okay. Mark chapter 5. And I'm going to read it in two translations. I just want you to get a little bit of the taste. This first translation is the New Living Translation. Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. And so they arrived at the other side of the lake in the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came from the cemetery to meet him. The man lived among the burial caves and could no longer be restrained, even with a chain. And whenever he was put in his chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrist and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night he wandered among the burial caves and in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. And when Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him and ran to meet him and bowed low before him with a shriek. And he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg, don't torture me." For Jesus had already said to the spirit, "Come out of the man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, because there are many of us inside this man." Then the evil spirit begged him again and again not to send them into some distant place. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. "Send us into those pigs," the spirit begged. "Let us enter them." So Jesus gave them permission. The evil spirit came out of the man and entered into the pigs, and the entire herd of about 2,000 pigs plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned in the water. Amen. That's one translation. Just want to read it. I might not read the whole thing, but just hear this translation. This is King James. And they came over to the other side of the sea in the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. The other one said, evil spirit. This one says, unclean spirit. How many of you know that we fall into that category? Who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken into pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And as always, night and day, He was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him and cried with a loud voice, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I abjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." He asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Amen. Soul detox. Living clean in a contaminated world. That's what I want to talk about. Soul detox. Living clean in a contaminated world. Some of you have been participating with the women's ministry as we meet with Dr. LaJoyce, who's a holistic doctor, naturopathic doctor, who've trained us that we can eat, and we think we're eating good, but how many of you know food has poisons on them? Sometimes we don't wash the apples and the oranges, and we think we're eating healthy, and we're eating all that pesticide. And it's all right, you know. You have one apple, one orange, one, and some of this stuff, you know, some of this stuff that's grown in Mexico and everywhere else, they're sprayed with all kinds of stuff. And how many of you know that it not only goes on the peeling, but it seeps on the inside? So you get these cheap, you know, you go to these stores and you get these, you have these special sales that they spray stuff with to keep them from rotting. And then we go to the store and we buy them and we eat them. And just eating them one time is all right. But over a while, it begins to take an impact on our insides. Do I have a witness in the house? So you're feeling all right. You're eating. You think, "Oh, I'm just fine. I go to the store and I buy all these apples and I buy all these oranges. And oh boy, strawberries. Strawberries are probably worse than all. They're sprayed with all kinds of stuff." And we get these nice, big, juicy, poison strawberries. Somebody said, "I didn't come here for that." And what happens is we eat this stuff day and week and month and year. And after a while, we become toxic and poison one day at a time. And we slowly die on the inside. You go to the doctor feeling well, and he tells you, you got cancer. And what has happened is we have slowly become toxic and full of poison. And it gets not only into, you know, we look good. We spend a lot of time on the outside getting our hair done, our nails done, buying nice clothes, you know, going to the gym, losing weight and all that. But we spend no time on the inside. So we're a good looking corpse. Poison one day at a time. One apple at a time. And every now and then, we go to a holistic doctor, and a holistic doctor says, "Listen, what you've got to do is you've got to detox. You've got too many parasites on the inside." Anybody know what I'm talking about? Got these parasite cleanses. Cleanse us from our intestines. Then they say, not only do you need to clean your intestines out, every now and then, you've got to also clean your liver out. You got to clean your kidneys out. Got to clean your gallbladders out. Now, let me tell you something. I take all this stuff. I just never know if it's working. I mean, I get these nice pills saying gallbladder cleanse, kidney cleanse, and I take them faithfully. But I never quite know if I'm shown up clean. same thing is true in our spiritual self. We can get so much sin into our lives, and we get into it a little bit at a time. It doesn't kill us all on the first day, but we just start forgetting God one day at a time. We start with pornography. We start doing this and we start doing that. And the next thing you know, we are spiritually a mess. We've almost lost our mind. We start acting crazy. We start doing anything that we think we're big enough and bad enough to do. And the next thing you know, we are spiritually dead. So you come to the spiritual doctor today. I came here to tell you you need a detox. Look at somebody and say, you don't look contaminated, but I believe you are. You look good on the outside. Got these nice white dresses on and nice hats. Oh, God, look at that suit and that tie. You look bad today. Oh, you are fine as you can be. But on the inside, you just contaminated with sin as anybody else. We look down our nose at the guy on the street corner and thought he's a bad guy or she's a bad woman. We are just as bad. We are messed up. We are dressed up, messed up. And if somebody don't come clean, we're going to have a spiritual stroke. Dying pretty, but going to hell. So since you came, you know, that you know, Dr. LaJoyce tells us, you know, you need to drink half your weight in water. And I know what some of y'all say, I be in bathroom all the time. That's the point. You got to get some of those toxins out. I mean, I'm trying to help somebody. If somebody done closed their mind, you said, that ain't the gospel. Yes, it is. Because he came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. He don't need you all sick and messed up when you could have been healthy. Do I have a witness in the house? I've come to find out. I can't tell you that I drink 90-something ounces of water. I'm trying to think, you know, how heavy I am. I can't tell you that I drink all of those ounces of water, but I do believe that the body is fixed so that you've got to get oxygen everywhere. And not only do you have to drink water, but I'm learning that, look at somebody and say, you've got to learn how to breathe right. One of the reasons you lose weight is so that you can breathe better. You know, you're heavy, you know, you walk up a flight of steps. Give me some chicken. Oh, that pork sure is good. But we got to learn how to breathe right. And what I'm learning is we breathe too shallow, but you've got to get oxygen down in your feet and in your lungs and all over your body so that you can rejuvenate from the inside out. Do I have a witness in the house? So that you can be rekindled and renewed by your oxygen and your water. And if your body needs it, what about your soul? Your soul needs to be rejuvenated every now and then. We need to be in the presence of the living God and say, breathe on me, Holy Spirit, have you. If my body needs it, how much more do my soul need it? So here we are, going to church. And really, when we come to church, we really don't want to come clean. You know, we just want, you know, pastor, choir, just sing something that made me feel good. We want spiritual mercurochrome. Anybody ever remember that when you were a boy, growing up, a girl in South Carolina? We couldn't go to the doctor. Every time you turn around down in the farm in South Carolina, you got a hurt. You know, my grandmother, You know, she used to put that stuff on, it would burn so much. I said, I start crying before she even touched me. But that spirit, that mercuricone would sting so, but it would get all the germs out. Do I have a witness in the house? And sometimes before God can heal you, he's got to almost break you. He's got to almost take you out so that you can cry it out. You can come clean. So you might not like it when I say get the hell out, but look at somebody and say, I got some hell in me. Fact of the matter is, sometimes I catch hell on my job. I catch hell at home. I catch hell no matter where I go. Everywhere I go, there's hell. And it's one thing to catch hell, but it's another thing when you are possessed by it. It's one thing to have a sin. You know, when we first start dabbling in sin, we're in control. I got this, Rev. I know what I'm doing. You're talking that old-fashioned stuff, Rev. You know, don't you remember when you were young? That's what I'm trying to help you, fool. But initially, you have it. You are in control. But after a while, if you keep going in that direction, it will have you, and you will be possessed by it, and you can't get out of it by yourself. Do I have a witness in the house? It will control your day and night. I know somebody sitting out there saying, when is he going to get to the text? He gonna talk all that stuff. He ain't got to the text yet. Here I go. There's a man in this text. He was living in the tombs. The Bible says that he was possessed. One translation says he was possessed by evil. Another translation says he was possessed by demons. And another says he was possessed by an unclean spirit. I don't know how he got there, but he probably started out a little bit at a time. And after a while, after years, the sin caught up with him and he found himself out of control. Anybody ever been out of control? By a mess. And he found himself living in a cemetery. He was so messed up that he couldn't even live among living people. He had to go live among the dead. Text says, you read, it's in Matthew's account, chapter 8, I think it's verse 28. It's in Luke's account, chapter 8, I think verse 27. It's in Mark's account, chapter 5. The man was so sick, he was running around naked. So mentally ill. And you know, we don't really know how to deal with mentally ill folk today. We're quick to say, well, just go take a pill. But if they don't go take a pill and we don't know how to handle it, we are okay with them going somewhere. I don't care where you go, just go. We got a whole lot of homeless people out there who are suffering with mental illness. We pretend like we want them in church. Oh, just come on in. You know you don't. You don't want them sitting next to you. You don't want them smelling. You don't want them in here. You want them just like this demon, just like this demon-possessed man in the text. We want them to go somewhere and live among the tombs. Go anywhere, but don't come to middle-class Mount Olive stinking. Oh, I'm in the text now. I know you don't want me. I know you were waiting for me to get into the text. Now you said, hurry up and get out. This man. He was mentally ill. He was cutting himself. He had a sharp rock, a stone of some kind, cutting himself, and He'd been living out in the cemetery and hanging around dead people. And can you imagine sores on his arms, on his legs, and hadn't shaved. Probably had a beard. If he's like me, if he's in my age, it used to be black, but now it's gray, beard. Ain't got no hair on his head, but all on his face. Flies swarming around the ulcers of the sores on his body. Because he didn't have any medical insurance. He was a strong Mandingo brother. Because the text says that they would put chains on him. And he would break them. He must have been working out at Bally's or somewhere. Maybe he was doing isometrics. He was doing push-ups. I don't know, but he was strong. He was sick. He was strong. He was cutting himself with stones. And, you know, we are more sophisticated than that. We're not going to go around cutting ourselves with stones. Not today. No, 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 no. We ain't going to cut ourselves. We're going to drink ourselves to death. We're going to smoke ourselves to death. We're gonna drug ourselves to death, either with illegal drugs or legal drugs. How many of you know that legal drugs will mess you up too? We're gonna sex ourselves to death. We're gonna do all kinds of things. But look at somebody and say, we have self-imposed pain. Didn't nobody do it but us. And then this guy, you can be, how many of you know that you can be so sick mentally? We were in New York the other day to that play, and I was at a light, and I looked up on a sign up there, and it said, depression is a chemistry imbalance, not a character imbalance. Everybody gets depressed. But sometimes in life, you can get so depressed that you get obsessed with death and darkness. And that's where this man was. He was so depressed, he had become obsessed with death. And he was so obsessed with death that he was hanging around and took residence in the cemetery. And he was obsessed with just being in a dark place. And sometimes when you're in a dark place, the first thing you need to do is come out the bedroom. Get out and circulate a little bit. This man, he had self-imposed pain, going around cutting himself. I remember being, I think it was in India, I'm not exactly sure, India or maybe Nigeria. We were riding on a van in a bus. I think it was India. In India, you know, there's cows walking down. You know, cows are sacred. Cows all over the place. You got to be careful where you step. Don't you step in cow manure all over the street of India. And I saw this guy running around naked. And it didn't faze nobody. Because he was sick. They had abandoned him. They didn't care what happened to him. And I'm telling you, we're living in a time and an age now where some people in Washington have abandoned poor people. They don't care what happens to us as long as we don't bother them. This man had self-imposed pain. He had obsession with death and darkness. And then he had this endless restlessness. This, when you're sick, the text says he was day and night running around crying and screaming and hollering. Day and night he was out in the mountains hollering and screaming. Day and night from sunup to sundown. How do you know sometimes trouble seems to get worse at night? Night he was screaming and screeching and hollering. How many of you, don't raise your hand, how many of you know that sometimes insomnia is something to deal with? You can take melanone, what is that, melanone or whatever that is. Yeah, that one. You had to stay awake sometime too, huh? This guy, it's one thing to be mentally ill during the day. It's one thing to be depressed. It's one thing to be in heartache and pain. It's one thing to have a toothache. It's another thing to have a heartache. It's another thing to have a brain problem. And this guy, he was endlessly restless. He could not find any rest. He could not find any peace. In the morning he couldn't find. In late at night he couldn't find. He couldn't go to sleep. He was just in hell. He was just in torment. This guy, he had self-inflicted pain. He was obsessed with death, and he was had an endless restlessness. I got a feeling that's why some of you came to church today. You got a restlessness problem. And I got a feeling that somebody says, Lord, speak to my heart. Lord, I'm not asking you to do anything. I got a pretty good job. I live in a decent house. All I want is to go to sleep tonight. Lord, then after a while, you can be sleepless so long, you get scared from taking medicine. And then you move into drinking a little bit. Oh, that wine is pretty good. You know, some of you like me, all I need is a thimble full of wine. And early in the day, you give me a thimble full of wine, I'll be asleep at 3 o'clock. I don't know what it's supposed to do, but I know it helps me to calm down. Thank you, Jesus. Now you can sell. I think that's terrible. But Jesus changed water into wine, and I don't want it to go to waste. But he had this endless restlessness, and not only you know, when you get sick, we become restless, and then we become isolated. Keep all of our pains and all of our burdens and all of our heartaches to ourselves. And we shut ourselves off from fellowship. We shut ourselves off from anybody. And we just look within all the time and all the time. And we get more and more depressed and more miserable. But thanks be to God that we can come to the house of God and have a little talk with you. Even if we don't talk to anybody else, get yourself up out of bed. Put your rags on. Put your best on. Bring yourself to the house of God and let the Spirit breathe on you. Holy Spirit! I don't have money for a therapist. I don't have insurance. But I don't even know how the Lord's going to cure me. But I know He's able. I'm going to present myself before the Father. Work on me. Holy Spirit! Dr. LaJoyce, she talks about physical detox. It's nice of y'all out there. You look good. You had a parasite cleanse. You've been taking that nasty anti-plague with vinegar. You've been having those kidney cleanses and gallbladder cleanses and all them other cleanses, but I got one more. Don't you dare stop before you get to a soul detox. If you don't clean up that soul, you're gonna be physically all right, but mentally a wreck. Well, I'd probably be wise to stop, but I got a little more to say. No. What is it that contaminates the soul? The Bible talks about demons, and you know, we don't talk about demons much. We talk about evil. We don't talk about the devil. I don't even know if we really believe in it. How do you get a demon inside you? Where demons come from? Where does unclean spirits come from? I think unclean spirits come from our thought world. How many of you know you can find whatever you're looking for? You looking for a Mac Daddy? You can find one. You might have to look a long time. But you're going to pay a price. Look at somebody and say, are you willing to pay the price? And then you can look at them and say, if you knew what I know.
Yes.
But this, your thoughts will determine who you are. And sometimes if you want to detoxify, you got to have a mind makeover. You've seen on TV, they go into these old houses, and they tell you, here's $1,000, make this house over. You say, you need more than $1,000 to make this dump over. Well, we can be so messed up. We can think that nobody can save. We can be so low down. We can be so full of pessimism and so full of negativity. That's one of the things that contaminates our soul, pessimism. And we can be so clogged up and contaminated with anxiety. We can be so anxious and so nervous. We got a good job and everything is going well, and we just think the bottom's going to fall out tomorrow. We start getting a little aged, and we get so nervous about how we're going to live and every pain and everything that's going to happen. And so we're contaminated with anxiety. We can't sleep. We can't live because we're contaminated with anxiety, and we're contaminated with sin. Then we're contaminated because somebody hurt us. And then we got bitterness. We're just so bitter because somebody betrayed us. Somebody hurt us. Talking about Michael Vick. I don't understand how they could let Zimmerman off for killing a human being and arrest Michael Vick for a dog fight. Now, I know there's some animal lovers in here. I'm not talking about hurting and killing animals. I'm talking about human beings are more important. That's just an aside. But it really is not an aside because it's in the text. Because the people after the demons went and got into the pigs, they got all excited about the pigs killing themselves. They didn't care about the man that Jesus had healed. It's in the text. The demons, the unclean spirit. In this modern age, we don't like to talk about demons. So that's why I say, okay, let's just talk about unclean spirit. Because you know, that you and I, let's just talk. You and I, we got some unclean spirits. And bitterness. So we got pessimism, we got anxiety, we got bitterness, and then we got criticism. You ever meet somebody, ain't nothing ever right. I don't like that song, I don't like that sermon, I don't like that suit, I don't like Mount Olive, they're just a bunch of whatever. Just shut up. And you wonder why you ain't got no man. Or you wonder why you ain't got no woman. Because you scandalizing every woman. As if you a gift to womanhood. or vice versa. Because you're too critical. Because you ain't all that either. I mean, if you want to just get real.
Yes, sir.
I can talk. This man, I got it. I promise you I would go keep you all this time. Here it is, 20 minutes to 12. But, hey, what I got to say? I haven't been here a few weeks, so I got to tell you all now. this man, he was out there. He was hurting, and Jesus came to him, and Jesus said, called out the spirit and said, "What's your name?" The man said, "My name is Legion." He didn't just have one demon. He had 6,000 demons. But before you can heal yourself or Jesus can heal you, you've got to be able to name your demon. You can't just say, "Well, you know, it's sort of like when I give an apology to Barbara or something. I say, well, I'm sorry for whatever I did. Whatever. I don't know, but she was not happy with that. She wants me to name it. What did you do? What did you do?" And then when I name it, usually then that's another, "Yeah, you did." But it's the beginning of healing to name your demon. As long as you cover it up and you try to globalize it and try to pretend like, it's not. You got to name that thing. Look at somebody and say, "Name that thing." Once Jesus called him out and says, "What is your name?" And the man said, "My name is Legion." He probably was saying, "I'm a liar. I'm a fornicator. I did all this kind of stuff, and I started out, I was middle class, I was doing all right, and then I got so bad, and I had to end up down there in the graveyard. I was cutting myself, and my family didn't want me, the town folk didn't want me. I'm out there in the cemetery screaming and hollering and crying, and nobody would hear me, and I've been crying so long, but nobody would hear me. But thanks be to God, when I saw you getting off that boat, I said, 'This is my chance.' And I cried out, and thanks be to God, you stopped by and you healed me." Yeah. Somebody here this morning that's got an issue that you've been hiding. And I'm not telling you to bring it to me.